And welcome back to the Cave Escape Podcast. I am Caleb Groves.
And I'm Ashton Goolsby.
And we are back after our extended sabbatical.
Our accidental sabbatical.
Yes, accidental. It was not on purpose at all. We just both got very, very busy and forgot.
I was in a play. You got engaged. I went to England, then Christmas.
And we're both teachers, so our life is crazy. But yes, so we're back, and the goal is to be back consistently instead of just back for a one-off thing before we go back to what we did last semester.
But we have a list of things now.
Yes, we have a whole plan.
Yes.
It's actually the same plan that we did last time. What actually happened was after our last episode, there was too much relational tension because of our theological differences, and we only just made up yesterday, so we're just jumping right back on the horse.
Yes. Yeah. I actually forgot that was our last episode. Although, I did look yesterday. I was looking at something to see the last time we posted. It was, beginning of September.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah. That was a long time ago. It was about
four
months ago, yeah.
Whoa.
Yep. So.
But here we are.
It has been a while, yes.
We're not dead. Okay, today, we're going to read about, we already read, well, he read, I read a while ago, but I still remember it, Dr. Jekyll, The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. By Robert Louis Stevenson. So it's Louis, right? Not Louis.
I think so.
Okay.
I don't know why it would be Louis.
I don't either.
He was born in Scotland, so.
Right.
Probably wouldn't like the French very much.
Probably not.
But this was one that you recommended it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then my mom always, around Christmas time, goes, hey, what do you want for Christmas? And I don't ever know. So last year I started a book list, and you recommended this one to me, and it was on the list. So when she asked, I was like, I don't know. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde was on the list. So I got a copy of that. And then I read it, and I was like, this is awesome.
Yep.
And he said, that's what I've been telling you. And so
exactly.
I said, well, let's talk about it.
Yeah. And the if you're not already aware, the Audible version is Richard Armitage. It narrates it and reads it, and it's phenomenal. His voices are very, very good. I want to say he's won awards for his audiobooks or something, but he's done a bunch of major audiobooks at this point, several Dickens ones, and it's really, really good, and you should check it out.
You should probably check out the story before you listen to this, because it will spoil it a little bit.
That's true. We are definitely going to give away everything, which also, I already kind of knew, I think, the ending, because it's Jekyll and Hyde is almost like an idiom at this point. So it's kind of like most people know what it is.
I mean, I didn't.
And so, yeah. So I was actually surprised that you were didn't know what it was. And I am jealous of you for being able to read it without knowing that they're the same person. Spoilers.
I will also say, at this point I'm figuring, because we already said it, hopefully you stopped it. If not, at this point you kind of...
Yep. Sorry, dude.
It's your fault. But I did kind of call the ending. I think I told you that while I was reading it.
Yeah.
It's not very long. My version here is it's got fairly big type. It's only 85 pages. It's
probably about a quarter of an inch wide.
Yeah, it's not very big. But I kind of called the ending within the first couple chapters.
Right.
First off, who writes a short story with chapters in it? that was the thing. I was like, it's a short story. It's got chapters in it. It's weird. But I kind of called the end early on, but I didn't call everything about it.
Right.
And so right before the last chapter, everything finally clicked in my head.
Mm-hmm.
But then he gives you that last chapter kind of in case you didn't actually get everything that happened, I'm going to lay it out for you, and I'm also going to give you the mind of the character himself.
The motivations.
Yeah.
So that
last chapter kind of...
The last chapter is wild.
Yeah, I just kind of felt chills as I was reading it, because
you're
getting into his mind that you've not gotten any of that the whole time. He's Jekyll or Hyde or whatever you want to call him. It's been very... Excuse me. Been very distant.
Right. Isn't most of it written in... from the perspective of the other characters?
Yeah, well, I was trying to remember what the guy's name was. Is it Mr. Utterson? Or is that the...
That's one of them.
I don't think that's the main guy that was...
I can't remember. I remember that there was the police officer, and there's a different guy. And that's pretty much... Those are the only... I only remember there being at least two other people. Was there a girl? A girl was involved, but she wasn't a character that we got a perspective, did we?
Well... No, the little girl?
I don't remember.
Because there's the opening where...
I thought there was a woman, but maybe that was just
I don't remember that.
She might not be a main character.
The
Hyde assaults a woman.
Yes.
But she's but that's all that happens to her, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because there's the beginning. The beginning is there's these two guys talking in their law office, and one of them says, "Have I that guy over there, that Hyde character, have I ever told you about him?" He says, "I saw him one time. He knocked this." He said, "He's one of the creepiest people I've ever met. One time I saw him, he knocked this little girl over, and he just kept going as if nothing happened. And then we acted like we were going to trouble him and take him into court or whatever, and he quickly gave out some money and then just disappeared into that door right over there across from our window that we can see."
Hmm.
And then that just kind of gets this guy just trying to figure out who is this Hyde character and why is he going into, because they know it's right. Jekyll's house he's going in the back door of. Well, sorry, they don't both know that initially.
Right.
It's revealed pretty early on that this is Dr. Jekyll's house, that right. Mr. Hyde is sneaking in the back gate of it. Which put me pretty suspicious. Yeah, that put me pretty quick onto the end. I was like, all right, there's some how in cahoots. Why are they together?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I wonder if they're the same person.
Yeah.
So, it's, but you don't want to believe it either. You're like, how could they be the same person? And they look completely different.
Mm-hmm. And also because Dr. Jekyll's like very, very nice.
Yeah.
Right? Like he's like a super nice, kind person. And then you got Mr. Hyde, who's super
weird and rude
and gruff. And
well, not just that, but like he gives off this aura of just evil.
That's right.
They don't even say he feels menacing or threatening in a way. They say even without him speaking or doing anything, when he comes, you feel this presence of just evilness.
Right.
Even if you don't realize he's there.
That's crazy.
They would feel this just evilness exuding from him. And all the characters that talk about him mention this unbidden by any of the other characters. There's something about him that they inherently just instinctively know is just evil.
Hmm.
But then you spend the whole story trying to figure out what's going on. And the big thing was that really puts, it is Mr. Utterson. I just found out. What puts him on the trail initially is he's friends with Jekyll. Jekyll's will comes into his law office.
Right.
He's left everything to Hyde. And he puts a clause in there that specifically says, in the event of a mysterious disappearance lasting more than this amount of time, everything goes to Hyde.
Right.
And that's when he just starts pestering Jekyll. He's like, well, why are you leaving this to Hyde? What has Hyde got on you? And he's like, I can't be free of Hyde. I can't be free of Hyde. And you just think, well, Hyde's got like dirt on him or something.
Right.
But it's...
No, he can't be free of him because he is him.
Yeah. But so then the whole rest is him just trying to figure out what it is going on. And then all of a sudden Jekyll just stops talking to him.
Right.
But
he's still around, right?
Yeah. They see him at random times. And so the weird thing to me was... Like he still sees Jekyll, and it's clearly still Jekyll. So it's not like Hyde bumped him off.
Right.
Which initially, if you're reading like a Sherlock Holmes story or something, you think, aha, it's not, he's seeing a shape through the window. It's not really Jekyll. It's Hyde's bumped him off and somebody else is posing.
Right.
They don't know what they're seeing. But he talks to him at close enough distance that he knows it's Jekyll.
Mm-hmm.
But Jekyll like won't talk to him, and there's that one scene where they're talking to him from the window. He's just like got his window looking down over the door, and he's just talking to him from the next floor up.
Right.
And all of a sudden, he just slams the window shut. I was like, okay.
Weird.
So it's like it just gets weird.
Yeah, it gets strange.
Yeah, but the interesting thing to me was because I mean, as we jump to the end, you find out they're both the same character.
Right.
But there was that one friend that found out
early. Oh, yeah.
And then he doesn't say anything.
Right.
So I guess, do we want to talk about that or do we want to jump to the end first? It may be best, I guess, to jump to the end and say what happens and then move back to the...
Yeah, we can do that.
So at the end, you find out this was a failed experiment on Jekyll's part.
Mm-hmm.
Because he found out, like through this drug, he could... split essentially himself into the, he discovered, he said, there's two natures inside of me. There's one that wills to do good, one that wills to do evil. And so he thought, I could separate the two of them. And so he does, and he wakes up in Hyde's body. And he, it says he's shrunken, and he's short, and he's small. But mm-hmm. he feels this just evilness inside of him. And so it's basically like, he's got the nature of the goodwill, but also the selfish evilness inside of him.
Right.
And he can switch between them with this concoction that he's discovered.
Mm-hmm.
And so he decides he's going to indulge his selfish pleasures disguised as Hyde, because he gets a completely different face.
Right.
So he says, I can do it with complete anonymity because Hyde's not a real person.
Yeah.
So he can go out, and then I can retreat back into my form as Jekyll, and but nobody's ever going to be the wiser.
But part of it also is that because Hyde is essentially the manifestation of his sin nature, then he doesn't feel any shame or guilt mm-hmm. or like conscience at all while he's doing it. So he can go out and just like fulfill his sinful desires without feeling bad about it.
Yeah.
And he doesn't, like, there's not the added pain of this is wrong. Hyde just does it and enjoys doing it.
Yeah.
And so it's like an extra, it's not just, oh, now, because he could just wear a mask and go do bad things, but that wouldn't have done it for him because it would have gotten at his conscience, and his conscience would have been eaten at him if he had been doing it with a mask.
Yeah, that was another interesting thing too.
Yeah.
Like he indulges it because it's the anonymity, but also there's the, he has no relation to Jekyll's even personality.
Right.
So he can do whatever he wants, and he doesn't feel any of the guilt. He just enjoys it.
Mm-hmm.
And he finds the more he does it, the more wicked things he enjoys.
Right.
And he also finds that Jekyll himself, or not Jekyll, Hyde, begins to grow physically the more he indulges these things.
I forgot about that.
So it's this idea of there's the temptation in all of our hearts to do wickedness. I mean, as a Calvinist, I believe in total depravity. But, I mean, whether you're a Calvinist or not, the Bible's very clear.
We have a sin nature.
We have a sin nature.
We are prone to wander.
We have a problem since the Garden of Eden.
Yep.
And you see what happens through Jekyll and his experiment with Hyde, where he indulges that sin nature to the point that it becomes part of his identity in a way that he has a hard time getting away from, and it keeps manifesting itself, and eventually against his will starts manifesting itself.
Yeah.
To the point that it takes over, which is, that you see that happen with people a lot of times. We all have temptations, but there's the understanding of we shouldn't indulge them, and people who do indulge them find that the more they indulge them, the easier it is to do them. And then eventually they find they have no control and they can't help but do those things. So what once was just a secret vice of theirs becomes a very all-encompassing, all-encompassing. It controls them in the end.
Right.
So instead of it being something they just indulge in, it becomes something that controls their lives and their desires. I mean, the easiest one to think of is like a drug addict. That at first they just indulge it because it feels good, but then they can't live without it eventually. So I thought it was a good analogy of it, but it really was, the end of the story convicts you in a way.
Right.
Because We've all had situations where we could have, or in some cases to varying degrees, have given in to different sins.
Yep.
And you see yourself in your own life, the ones you didn't give in to, how that stopped, but then things you might have given into for a while. Oh, it got easier. And then eventually, I mean, I was like, all right, I have to stop whatever it was.
I don't know.
I mean, even food's a good example of that. I say as I drink my third cup of tea for
today. Right, yeah, for you it's definitely tea, not food.
That was my thing over Christmas.
Yep. Everything else that he got for Christmas was tea because he didn't know what to ask for.
Yep. I got Jekyll and Hyde and then...
And boxes tea. Of tea. Because ever since he went to England, which I guess was after... Was England after our last podcast?
Yeah.
That's been a huge development in Ashton. he went to England for like 10 days and then became even more obsessed with England than he was before, which I didn't realize was possible. And he's been drinking tea every day and... He just got a cardigan as well, and he's been walking around. He's like, I need to have a pipe to go with my hat and my cardigan. And so that's been kind of the running reality. I almost said running joke, but it's not a joke to you.
Your reality
so
is a joke.
It's a joke to me. But anyway, yeah. Just like Ashton went to England, this story is set in England. Mm-hmm. So yes. How's that for a segue?
Beautifully done. So, at the end of the story, you find out that Jekyll has basically, he's lost control. His sin nature is now such a strong part of him, he's losing control over it. He used to could control when he switched into Hyde, but now he just wakes up in the morning, he is Hyde.
Right.
And the thing was, we were saying, like, his conscience is different, but... Even he as Hyde wakes up and is terrified by this.
Right.
He wakes up and goes, oh no, I can't stay like this. I have to switch back. And so he notices for a time he can control it and he suppresses it. But he can feel the Hyde part of him like snarling at it, especially after he gets involved in the murder. The Hyde part starts to acknowledge, I can't come out as much anymore because I'm wanted for my own protection. I'm a coward. I have to hide. But then he can't stay subdued either.
Hold on. Is his name Hyde because Jekyll is hiding?
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Or, because right as you, when you said Hyde was, he was like, I need to hide.
I didn't think about that. I mean, it's spelled different, but I wonder
if it is spelled different, but I wonder if there's like a.
Throw it off, yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I didn't think about that.
I don't know how I'd never thought of that.
Huh. That could be. Could be. I wonder.
Because I guess mostly it would just be that Jekyll is hiding behind, kind of like you said, like the anonymity thing. But also he is a coward. I remember that being one of the main character plot points is that he's a coward. And cowards hide.
I mean, intentional. That is interesting. I didn't think about that.
Yeah. Do you know what Jekyll means? Now I'm wondering if there's anything to Jekyll. Yeah, I always thought that was a weird name.
I want to look that up now. You look it up and I'll keep talking.
I'll just look it up briefly in my quick dictionary.
But so Hyde starts hiding and he won't come out. But then eventually, you can't keep a creature in a cage forever. It has to come out and stretch its legs. So Hyde again starts manifesting himself. And each time he comes out, because he was suppressed for so long, his wild just nature is that much more wild. Because he's been suppressed for so long, he comes out and just goes out and just lashes out and just goes crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Until eventually, Jekyll has to keep upping his dosages to even put Hyde back where he's supposed to go. And he realizes his original mixture, which is the only one he's ever actually made, was apparently an accident.
Oh, I forgot about that.
He cannot replicate the recipe. He made a mistake that he does not know what mistake he made when he made the original concoction.
Whoa.
And he cannot now remake it. So he turns into Hyde, and right before his last transformation, he... pins this letter.
Right. The whole chapter is like a letter explaining to the people, or like, is it to Utterson?
Yeah, it's to Utterson. He's explaining.
Explaining what happened and like kind of the whole story. He basically kind of goes over the whole book from his perspective, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And just kind of explains all of the mystery.
Yeah. But then at the end of the letter, he says, I can feel myself starting to slip. And he knows, I'm about to turn back into Hyde. I have none of the stuff left. I'm going to be permanently Hyde for forever. And by the end of the story, they find Hyde in Jekyll's house. And for a week or two, nobody's actually seen Jekyll, but he's been coming in and out in the dark at night, and they've been bringing him things, and he won't come out of his room. And so they break in, they kill Hyde, I think accidentally. And I don't know if it was accidentally or on purpose. They weren't too concerned either way, I remember. But then they're pretty sure Hyde's murdered Jekyll.
Right.
Which in a sense he has.
Right.
And then they find the note afterward and realize what was going on the whole time. But the weird thing to me was, you figure all this out at the end. It's like I said, even for me reading it was very convicting. Because, I mean, you look back on and analyze your own life and your own sins and you go, where have I failed in this?
Right.
And this is what I look like when I give in to evil.
Right.
But the thing that really got me and kind of confused me a little bit was there was that one friend that was going with Utterson to Jekyll's house. He finds out pretty early on because Jekyll transforms into Hyde out somewhere.
Oh,
and
right.
And he has to flee, and he doesn't have any of his like drug that changes him back.
Right.
And so he has to get this other friend to go to his house through this weird means, get the stuff and bring it to him, and he discovers the secret. About midway through the story.
Yeah, I remember that.
He discovers the secret, and he won't tell Utterson what it is, but he also won't ever talk to Jekyll again. And then this guy dies. And when he dies, a letter arrives to Utterson, and it says, "This letter to be opened upon the death of Dr. Jekyll."
Oh. I forgot that.
So this friend knew and didn't say anything.
Right.
But he wouldn't go see Jekyll again either. So I'm just wondering what to do with that guy. I mean,
was he
culpable? And
hold on. The friend who knew wrote the letter?
Or did
Jekyll write the letter?
I think that may have been Jekyll's letter.
Okay.
I don't remember.
Right.
But my question at any rate is, this friend knew what was going on and said nothing.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I guess, what do you do with that?
I mean, well, see, it's kind of a weird situation because I almost like it. I mean, Hyde is breaking the law by doing the things that he's doing, but I don't, like, it's not like Jekyll having made the transforming potion is illegal, right?
But
I'm talking about, like, there's the legality part, but then there is the moral part where he's intentionally indulging in sin.
But also at this point, he's murdered somebody.
Oh, he'd murder somebody by that point?
Yeah, by this point, this part of his problem, he's murdered somebody.
Oh.
He can't be seen in public as Hyde.
So oh, he has to, and that's why he sends the guy to get the drugs.
Yes.
Oh.
This is a little after the murder, and he goes, well, it's okay. I just won't ever go back into Hyde again.
Right.
And then he wakes up a few mornings later as Hyde.
Yeah.
And he panics, and he has to leave the house because he's wanted for murder. He can't even be seen in his own house because he's wanted for murder as Hyde.
Yeah. Yeah, that other guy is definitely culpable in some way. Did Hyde kill him? You said that guy died. Did he just, like, die naturally, or did Hyde kill him?
He got sick. He got sick and died. It was unclear to me.
That's a weird turn of events.
It was unclear to me if it was somehow related to the events that he witnessed and stuff on his mind.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was
like
sick.
He might have been stressed and became sick.
Yeah, from the craziness that he just witnessed and now having this moral weight on him.
Oh, yeah, I guess that kind of, maybe.
But it's interesting to me that he didn't tell Utterson.
Yeah, that's weird.
Because it's like he's watching Jekyll, if we want to make it analogous, basically struggling with sin.
Mm-hmm.
He does nothing to help Jekyll, and he won't even tell their other friend, who's one of their close friends, what's going on with him. But Jekyll needs something.
Yeah. That's really weird. I wonder what the purpose of that character is. Like, why? Like, what's he doing in the story?
I mean, I was reading it kind of as, I mean, you've got the friend of Utterson who is trying to help him. He doesn't understand, but he's there trying to help. But a bigger thing to me was the other character who sees what's going on and says, nope, and steps back.
Right.
And offers no help and just checks out. Won't even tell the other person who wants to help him. He just is like, I'm going to pretend like he doesn't exist. You know, the stuff between me and Jekyll, it's just too much. And we can look at him like and be like, oh, man, he's a horrible person. He should have helped him out more. But, I mean, also, do we do that at times?
Right. It's way easier to not deal with problems in a huge, confusing... I lost the word I was
going to
use.
Somebody's stuck in a difficult situation, it's right. easier to pretend like, well, they can deal with this themselves. It's their problem. They got themselves into it. I'm going to ignore them and pretend like it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Than to help.
Right. Because that would cause a lot of emotional stress on me trying to support them and figure out how to help them and decide what I should do because it's also my friend. But there's like that, if that guy is probably thinking, this is my friend, because he was friends with Jekyll, right?
Yeah, they would go to his house and have parties.
Yeah, so he's like good friends with this guy, and he's like, oh, he's actually doing evil, but he's like doing evil by taking a drug and turning it into an evil person that's not really him, but it is technically him, and I'm not really sure exactly what to do here, and it's stressful, so I'm just going to ignore it.
But he didn't even try to figure it out.
Right.
He just goes, nope, I'm never talking to you again.
That's weird. So if there's like no thought, then that's kind of a weird response. Unless it's just, he can just sense, yeah, it's going to be too much. Not doing that. Interesting.
I mean, I guess also.
It just feels like it should be, that kind of a thing feels like almost like it should be. I don't know. It feels like there should be some kind of other significant thing other than just providing another type.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it would be.
Yeah. But I mean, it's also one of those, I mean, was it even his place to try to get involved? Because, I mean, there's the question of what could he have done? There's not really much he could have done. I mean, I also understand it from his side as well. I mean, there's not much he can do. It's freaky and weird and evil. So he just goes, nope, there's just, that relationship can never be repaired.
Right.
Which, I mean, I can see that, but also, it just, to me, it feels a little bit like an abandonment.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to do with that section. Because I feel like there's, like you said, there's probably more to it as well than just the simple explanation that we're giving. But
yeah.
But sorry, were you going to say something?
I was just going to say it's too bad that I didn't read it super recently so that it's not that fresh in my mind.
The other thing that I took from reading it was, because I mean, at the end you realize what's been going on the whole time, but the way in which Jekyll started out this whole endeavor going, this is just my private little thing. It's me. I can go out and indulge whatever I want and then come back. And nobody has to know. It doesn't hurt anybody. It's just this other person that goes out and he does his stuff and it's fine. He comes back. And then by the end, you realize his secret little sin has affected everybody else in his life.
Yeah.
So what was once his secret thing, his whole household now is in an uproar and confused. His friends are in an uproar and confused. He's murdered somebody. There was also the girl at the beginning he knocks down. Everybody in the country is now hunting for him as a murderer. So it started out as a nice little secret thing that he just did, and it was like, yeah, it's just a little like thing I'll just indulge it sometimes. Becomes a thing, he can't control it, and now it's affecting everybody else around him.
Right. Yep. That's what sin does.
Yeah. And the thing about like the story though is I started it out and was like, this is a mystery. Ah, it's a cool, it's a fun little story to read, and you get to the end. And you don't expect to just be slapped in the face. It was not till the very end I was like, oh, I kind of feel gross about myself now.
yeah, because it's really not until the end. Like, even when you kind of know, I mean, like, after you've read it once, but, like, even if you know Jekyll and Hyde are, like, the same person, you still read most of it like it's just, like, a mystery novel because you're trying to figure out, oh, how does it work? what's happening, what's actually like, why is he being weird and secretive now, and what's going on. But then you get to the last chapter where he explains like his thought process and thought processes and his motivations behind all of the things, and you're like, oh, this is actually about human nature and how I'm a sinner.
And for me, it was really, I think, the in the last two pages.
Oh yeah, that's true. I forgot. It really gets you, because then it's like, ah, last chapter, here's the twist, and then the last page is like, boom, here's the extra twist in your gut.
Yeah,
it's really good.
Yeah, I just remember it ended, and I just sat there and just kind of closed it and just kind of stared into space for a second, and it was just like, what did I just read?
Yeah,
it's short, but he packed a lot in that 85 pages.
Yeah,
and you feel the horror of Hyde coming down the street, and then the confusion of everything else going on, and then in the end, you expect to just be like, I can't believe that Jekyll did this, and he should have known better.
Right.
And then once you read the last page, like, you just kind of go,
yeah, I would have done that.
Yeah, what would I have done in that situation? Probably the same thing that he did.
Yeah. And I want to also just, I'm going to plug the Richard Armitage recording again. He does a really good job of portraying that horror, like, through his voice.
Tell me about that.
So, like, at the end, this is one of my favorite parts. This is my favorite part of the recording, at least. But at the end, in that last bit, when he's like, he feels himself changing into Mr. Hyde as he's writing the letter, Richard Armitage has like a different voice for Jekyll and for Hyde. And his voice for Hyde is like a much more like deep, kind of creepy, like gravelly kind of a thing. And so as he's writing the letter, he's like, and I can feel myself changing now. And he starts describing like what the change is going to be like and what's going to happen. And his voice slowly transitions into the Hyde voice. And so you can feel like the horror of him, of Hyde, like creeping up on you as you're listening to it.
Mm-hmm.
And he just did a really, really good job of like accenting what Stevenson is trying to communicate through the way that he read it.
Yeah.
Which is super good.
Yeah, I've forgotten how good Robert Louis Stevenson was.
Yeah.
He's really good.
Yeah.
My dad read me when I was little. Have you read Kidnapped and Treasure Island?
I read Kidnapped a very long time ago, and I don't really remember most of it. I just remember that it was a sailboat on the cover.
Oh. Yeah, there is a sailboat at the beginning, and then they don't go back to it for a while. But I remember reading both of those, and I listened to both of them actually last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember like going back through them, and I was like, man, he's really good. And like the, Captain Ho Season's on Kidnapped. Whoever the captain is on Treasure Island is an interesting character too. He's one of those like
restaurant. Long John Silver.
No, not Long John Silver. Oh. Captain Livesey. Captain Livesey, who's the real captain of the boat.
Yeah.
He's another one of those characters that like you read him initially one way, and he's very obvious. Mm-hmm. And then by the end of the book, you read him and Long John Silver actually both. You read Long John Silver, he's the nice, trustworthy guy.
Right.
And I just forgot his name again.
Livesey.
Captain Livesey is the mean guy. And then you realize pretty early on, you realize Long John Silver's not the nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the end of the story, you realize that Captain Livesey did actually really care for Jim.
Yeah.
And he was looking out for him the whole time by being harsh and right. hard on him. And so it again like puts you in that just you don't realize you've learned it, but you realize that like the kisses of an enemy versus the wounds of a friend type thing.
Interesting.
You get that. That's a cool that proverb idiom. Kind of out of it.
Or proverb.
Yeah. So yeah. Robert Louis Stevenson's really
yeah,
good.
He does do a good job of like I guess teaching you things about humanity and things about yourself without like saying it. You just kind of like glean it as you're reading.
But also he doesn't like even in Kidnapped now with like Alan Breck, you don't get a good read on him for a long time. So he's this guy he's met and he has to be with him. And you're constantly like, oh, maybe he's nice. Maybe I don't like him. Well, I don't know. At least for me, like reading it.
Yeah.
He doesn't like give you always a clear picture of the character until you've kind of been with him for a while.
Huh.
So it feels very realistic to me. Like, you meet a person, you have to get to know them.
Right. Yeah. That's kind of cool.
You have to, like, get pages in before you actually feel like you know the character.
Yeah.
But he's good. I can't believe I never read this one before.
But yeah,
it is good. I'm glad you recommended it.
Yes, sir.
Well, I think that brings us about to the end of our time.
Yeah.
Did you have anything else to add before we close it out?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Not off the top of my head, at least, that I can think of.
Well, we've got a list. We were not idle the entire time we were silent. We were making a list of topics and people.
Every 3 weeks, we're like, we should start the podcast back up. What should we do?
Uh-huh. We're also tinkering with the idea of doing things over phone calls with other people.
With guests.
Yes. So that would open up a wider variety of topics. We've not forgotten the series that we started right before we left.
Right.
So we want to come back to that and finish it. But we got other stuff that we're reading. Man, I read so much over Christmas.
I did not.
It was awesome. I got so many books over Christmas that I want to read, I need to read.
Yep.
So hopefully we can read stuff and have more things to talk about at some point. We've got a list of things that if we can stay focused and get them recorded, we should be back to putting stuff out somewhat regularly.
Yeah.
And I don't remember if this was up last time, but the block has been changed. So if you want to go to our blog, it looks very different.
Oh.
Do you remember the URL?
Oh.
Because I can never remember it.
It's not great, Cave Escape. That's our email. Caveescape.blogspot.com.
Yes, it is the caveescapeblog.blogspot.com.
So it's the Cave Escape blog.
Yes.
.blogspot.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
The funny thing to me is the blog is my responsibility, and somehow you know the URL and I don't.
Yep. Well, because I had to remember it multiple times in a row, I think, to say it at the end. Or something, I don't remember. But yeah, I forgot that we changed it. At first, I had no idea what you're talking about. I was like, wait a second, we changed the blog? What did you do?
Yeah, it looked really...
But no, it looked bad before, but we fixed it.
It looked very early 2000s. But
yeah, now which is a vibe.
Yeah, but not a nice vibe.
But yeah, it looks really good now from my feelings that I remember having when we were changing it. I don't remember what it looks like. But then also our email is greatcaveescape@gmail.com, so you can send us questions. We've gotten a few questions, and those are super cool.
We apologize for the time it takes us sometimes to reply to them.
Yes, sorry.
Because we usually try to talk about them beforehand together, and we are also teachers. And
schedules don't line up.
Yeah, most of them came right in the middle of the breaks, and also when I was, I don't know if we mentioned this, but I was in England.
Right,
So we got two of them about the time that we were doing Thanksgiving, and I was out of the country. So
it's weird that I brought that up before you did.
Well, I was trying to be, you know, play cool.
Yeah, okay, I guess. But now that the cat's out of the bag, you're going to say it all the time.
Yes.
Yeah, so please send us questions. We like having to answer your questions. It gives us a chance to
think through stuff
and maybe think about different perspectives. Mm-hmm. And also, it forces us to explain how we think about that thing, or like our answer to that question in a concise and clear way, which helps us make it more concise and clear in our minds, which is super helpful for us. And it's super helpful for you.
Mm-hmm.
Or I would hope it's super helpful for you, assuming we have good answers.
Well, if you made it this far, thank you for listening. We'll have another episode out soon, but until then, take care.